Tzadik has the quality and the capability of opening up that under no good circumstances is not expressed and given expression. Now, what is the matter? What is the subject? It can go from the top to the bottom. It can be from the highest of the high to the lowest of the low. There are things that are not expressed because of their special quality, that they don't have, that you would ruin them by expressing them. You can't express your most inner feelings on a daily basis. You can't express your most inner thoughts, your deepest thoughts, on a daily basis. That's something that only special circumstances, special quality of a circumstance, of relationship, allows for that type of expression. I can't use, sometimes there are people who can do it, say, through music. But it's a very intense, very extended effort that any person needs to do. And this, sometimes people say Bali Minagni. They have a lot of nigun. But there's one nigun that by them is special. Why? If they feel that there's some certain area of expression, they express their self in it. They hear that the inner music, that's in the neshama that relates to music, that can be translated to music. You hear, that's me. I said me. Here, when you hear that, you heard me. I put it into music. Here it is. What? There's a certain element. You have to ask musicians. But there is such a thing, right? Music is a reality. It's one of the expressions of reality. It is corresponding to all the rest of reality. And therefore, yes, a person has an essence that can be expressed in music. You have to be a technician of musician. But there are people that are very high quality technicians in music, but they're not musicians. Right? They play other people's music. Right? They even do a good job, but they're not musicians. Why? There's no soul in it. That means there's no soul in it. You can have music is a ruchnistic thing. That's why even non-ruchnistic people, right, that are involved in music speak ruchnistic terms. Right? You can go to the lowest of the low, so you have to have some neshama in there. What neshama? You believe in neshama? Where'd you come from? What do you do all day? Right? What neshama? Right? But in music, you can't be fooled. In music, the person who's involved, you realize that there's the chumrius of the music, and that there's something that's the main thing that gives it all of its flavor and time and quality. That's the neshama of the music, which the difference between it is not so easily scientifically to define it. I don't know if you record it and make graphs of exactly what you did. If you're going to see the same tune playing with neshama, without neshama, you're going to be able to exactly define what the difference is. Right? But a person that is listening, a person that has a trained ear, that has a neshama, music-turned neshama, right, music-turned ear, will tell you, this is junk. No, well, the same music, right? But he didn't make any mistakes. He played A and then C and then D and then G and then whatever it is, right? And according to the rules, right? Jump, not over there. Right? So, what happened? So, right? That's the same thing in art and the same thing in all of the difference. It's all called mischak. Right? There are other forms of mischak. More refined forms of mischak. But all of them is poetry. There's sort of kinds of expression. Right? There's human behavior that is mischak. All of the social kuba is there, especially when it's done between two individuals. We have two that are involved in the mischak. Is that you have a coming together, an expression, a coming together of something that on a normal day would be hidden, a normal day that would be left unexpressed, and through this vehicle of Svoit Bekazor, should have the capability of opening up the barriers that normally should be there and expressing. Now let's hear it on the negative side. And that's what this mission is coming to teach it, the negative side. Svoit Bekazor, my giving us all them the Erevo. Erevo is the misuse of Erevo is called Gilui Erevo, or Gilui Arayis. The what's wrong, the evil over there, is the Gilui. the Gili of the Erva is the evil. The same exact human being, the same exact human organism, same exact human act can be either the absolute opposite to Shechina, to the degree that it says that b'mokum shegili erva, you can't say dvar tere. There's no Shechina. You're not allowed to say any dvar shebekdusha b'mokum shegili erva, because Shechina and erva can't relate b'chlal. The total opposites. And the exact same thing, given the proper expression of it, is zochu Shechina b'nei. It'd be a mokum for Hashkoras of Shechina directly. The negative form, is here the Gilei Arayin spot, I'm talking about Erev and Al-Tzad Hara. The negative form of Erev, the Torah of Oyeg Mirsal Sodom, the three Yamudim of Toif. Kenegdom, we have the Gimel of Eres Chamudis. Avoid a Zor, Gilei Arayin, such a Chazdom. That's Zelu Mazzeh. Gilei Arayin, which is a very extensive expression of what's called modern society. It's about 98% of what happens in the world. Maybe that's not true. Shrichas don't really get to it. As I have said, is that too. But the whole thing is a very major, major power. What makes the world go round? What's it all about? You have to know that the most simpler understanding of the problem of Gilei Arayin is simply an over-involvement in time. That's true. But Gilei Arayin goes beyond that. Gilei Arayin is not just a matter of time. Gilei Arayin is also the desire to defame that is holy, that is pure, that is adin, by disrobing it of all of its needs. Again, let's take a marshal of music. Music can have a beauty to it, can have an adinut to it. There are different forms of how Gilei Arayin expresses itself in music. One of the lowest forms, which is what the generations are, especially the last 100 years, going further and further in leaps and bounds, is to take the nekuda of the beauty of music and throw it into the street in the ugliest form. Right? To take the quality of the beauty and harmony that can be arranged and make it as close as possible to noise. To noise. As close as possible to the opposite of the quality of music, in sometimes extremely intelligent, sophisticated forms. You have to really be trained a long time to be a good noisemaker called a rock star. You know, it's not easy to do. It's not a baboon hitting on a drum. It's a highly trained artist. Right? The difference in sound isn't that much. Right? The involvement of how to uproot all of the beauty of it, how to uproot all of the quality, and to bring out the expression of the lowest forms of human existence, to bring out anger, to bring out all forms of ra. The whole what does it express? It expresses violence. It expresses anger. It expresses lust. It expresses all of the most grossest forms of negative, explosive, out-of-bounds behavior. The breaking down of all barriers. The breaking down of all of that makes up quality, as sophistication. That's good, right? The Torah teaches us tznius. It teaches us even the physical body to be considered emeralds, considered jewels, to be considered kvoda bas melech pnima. The woman is tznius of a woman because of her high quality of being a bas melech. And therefore there's a special approach of ahav, of kovod, that the Torah expects from a man to a woman, including in the physical areas. Because we're dealing with something of great adinus, of great special, of quality, of something that breaks down the mundane, regular, and gets to something of higher quality. It can't be expressed on a daily basis. It has to be expressed in special times and special forms. Only in the most limited way. The opposite number, Gili Arayis, Erevo, is taking this thing itself and expressing it in the grossest, open, breaking down the barriers, right? Doing Bedafka everything in Faker, in the most backwards way that you can find. Yeah. The Klal of Choyk and Kalas Rish is that it lays loose expression and revealment of that can't be revealed in this normal way. Now this can be from kotzer lekotzer. It can be used in the most negative form of being a schoik v'kalas roish, go against all of his own side societies, but his own normal, healthy feelings, ideas, hashkofas, of tznius, of erech, of quality, and to express himself in a gross form. Schoik and Kalas Roish enables a person to cast off the bounds of seichel, of quality, of honor, of covered, of all of those tznius, of all of the qualities that are the essence of the of all real rukhis. What happens then? Zelum zeh of real rukhis is what can be expressed through air, through Gilead rites. The reason why it's be so important for Western man to be involved in this whole mahalach called Gilead rites is because he doesn't feel that he has his essence without it. He wants to feel what he considers free. He doesn't want to be restricted by all of the internal and external things that should tell him that there are ways of doing things. There's ways that should be done, shouldn't be done. He feels that that is restricting. He wants to be free. Okay? The opposite of what Kleinsel knows, that he's just an evit to his tivus. He's destroying all that is quality and beauty. And he becomes, as all society is becoming, lower and lower and lower and lower into mud. It's not even the time. The emes is that there's much, much less pleasure involved in mud than there is in quality. Right? And the person gets involved in this higher form, right, lower form, whatever you want to call it, but the more gross forms of expression. You make a whole shita, whole way of life out of this freedom seeking. They destroy all quality and beauty and end up with a sheet of it has to be mud. It's in dress and it's in music and it's in painting and it's in speech and it's in thought and it's in expression in every form of human expression. Right? It's all gross and ugly. There's no pleasure in it. It's all mean. Everything becomes negative. Everything becomes ugly. Everything becomes angry. Everything becomes violent. People think that the violence that the children have only comes from the violence that they see in the movies. It's not just the violence, it's also from the music. It's also from the colorings. Everything comes to express, break out all of the limitations, and brings out the worst, the lowest. It brings out the most inner negative form of expression, and all in the name of freedom, all in the name of kidima, and all of these words. On the positive side, okay. The morale says over here, Shaschik, who has Achtus v'dibuchagomor, Mishum. When you have a real relationship, when you have a quality relationship, where the relationship is so specific and pure that it is totally one, just ish v'ish, this ish and that ish v'zehu, not in act, and not in thought, not in sight, and not in any of the koiches that involve the relationship between Isha and Isha, not outside, only Isha, only inside, here and here only. That the tzchoik and the kalas harish enabled the expression of the most inner form, natural, positive, beautiful, is achdus of each yeshiva. And that's why, as much as this can be the essence of the concept of Gilui Arayos, it is also the necessary positive form of the way that it's supposed to be. Now go up finally to the highest level. What it all means is very long. The pshuto, what we can understand. The Vyasan is a Briya that the Bereshit created that embodies all of the concepts of Lehitiv and Briyos. All of the concepts of the Bereshit's final and greatest Rotson, right, to give Schar, to give the Olam of Schar to his creations. The Sakachim of Yosan is the Nekuda of Chibur between Bayer and Nivra. That the Bereshit Shalom, through his giving to the Nivra, in his highest and greatest form, in its most Dover Kolkach Adin, that it's above Chochmah and above Nevuah. This is something that relates only to Olam Haba. We were only told through Teish of Alpeh certain words that express the outline of the concepts. We don't know exactly what it means of Yosa. We don't know exactly what it means to the Shul of Yosa. But one thing we do know, that the concept that's involved is the Rishon's involvement with his greatest Rotzen, that Rotzen that brought the creation of all the world, his desire to hate him and be Yosa.
That's the highest
one. That's his final Rotzen. That was the original Rotzen. That's the final. That's the ultimate goal. That was the original source of everything. That's the ultimate goal. That ultimate, the Bnei Shalom is, there's no time problem in the Bnei Shalom. So the ultimate goal exists in a form called Leviathan now. And the Bnei Shalom spends a quarter of his day. This is all it needs. Be Mesachek with Leviathan. The way that he, if you wish, puts up with everything that goes through the process, right, is because he constantly, on a daily basis, has his Mesachek of Yosef. He sees, out of all these things, even the things that look the opposite number, they look to be going against his Tachlis, but he knows now, right, what we'll know only in the end, how it all adds up, how we're all going to add together to his Tachlis of the final expression of the Rebbeinu Shlom's Rotzen of Bimeitiv and Brigaisav, and through that, the Chibur and Dveikus of the Rebbeinu Shlom's Rotzen. Tzchoik, the Chalas Roish, Magilim Esa Odom Le'evro. The Chibur Elyon that there can be in Tzchoik and Chalas Roish is usually not going to happen in this world. Because in this world, because of the nature of this world, any really quality usually takes tremendous process of our achievements in this world. When we want to get totally involved, where if you have difficulties and you have to overcome difficulties, you can't do that. So when we want to get involved with Schoik, there's a very extreme danger that we're going to express is that what comes easy in this world. Yeah. Schoik, the Kalas Roish in this world, if you don't want to, it's not going to bring out Leviosa. It's going to bring out Gilui Arayos. Because that for a freedom is because you escape the klal of Adam Lomar Yulod. The person that accepts the process of the world, Chalom Lomar Yulod, is going to have to wait for his piece of Leviosa and Bayim Ham. There are times when the Baruch Hu throws us a little piece. There are certain akudas in our life where the Baruch Hu throws us a Einik Shabbos, an Einik of Chibur Yisha. There are certain nekudas of schar, of shaychus, to the Indian of schoik, of the Indian of tainug amiti, of chibur amiti, that we can come to in this world. But b'derech klal, odom lo v'yulod, ve'oso lo odom l'mala schoik, piv schoik v'enom azeh, ve'oz yomala schoik piv. Amen. Let's start the Mishnah. Continue the Mishnah. Nisayos Siyog L'Taya. Now we start the list of the Makos of Siyogos. And we have here four different subjects that require Siyog. And the first one of them being clear. Turn is a siog. A siog is going to any way that we understand the idea of siog, but the idea is going to be one of protection, of retention, of shmira. The concept that the value in and of itself is somewhat insecure. There's some reason why the relationship between the person and the value is not such a solid, natural one. It needs some protection, needs some outside, needs another force, another idea to help ensure the extension, ensure the continuum, or the very existence of the mind that we're talking about. That basically is the idea of seeing any way you turn. It leads us to the necessary understanding that all of these topics that we're going to talk about here in this Mishnah are things that are not naturally or immediately a kinyan in a person. Not something that becomes part of the person in such a natural, direct way, because something that would have such a natural, direct, either you don't have it, you do have it, but if you have it, you have it, finished. The person, let's talk about basic kochos hanefesh, talents, intellect, raw products, raw quality that a person has. Generally, a person was born with them, at least in the basic form. And most people that were born with certain powers, certain capabilities, never lose them. They only use them for better or use them for worse. They either develop them or let them rot. But the basic concept of them having them is because that it's part of their very essence. It's part of who they are. Internal makeup is certainly a siog for it. You need something to bring it out. You need motivation. You need all kinds of other factors to determine whether you're going to succeed without those concepts or that. But a siog you don't need. A siog you need when you're something you're trying to attach something on from the outside, where it's not such a sort of thing. It's not such a clear connection there, and it could fall. It doesn't have to be this way. Even though you got it already, but you can lose it. So, the interesting thing is that the Mishnah list here, more or less, a very nice list of all of basically all human accomplishment. All human accomplishment. A person is born, Odom Perigi of Olive, a person is born a very raw product. And something that is missing those qualities that relate to the success of human life and relate to the building of the picture of what a human being is, should be. There are people who manage very nicely to go through the world on Kina Tagrin Kov. You can make worlds, you can become a melech that way, you can make wars that way. There's a lot of things you can do. You can be very big and important. But as far as the development of quality of the person himself, you can go far in the entire cover. You can go very far. You can go to self-destruction. You can go to Kina Taiva Kov, Matsiyas Olam, and the Olam. There's no question that those three powers can keep a person moving throughout his whole life. It can keep whole countries, can keep whole societies functioning, but not developing. It's a
accomplishments, you know, going to, and we're talking about human accomplishments, the accomplishments of a human being. So the list of the things that we have here include basically all that can be considered in terms of real human accomplishments. Torah, most obvious, Olam Lo'omo Yulot, learns from Sanhedrin that the basic amelus that the person was created for was a molotov. Siog, Maisus, Siog La'osher. Osher is one of the three real qualities. Osher is a quality. One of the accomplishments of kinyan, of bringing in something that's outside to be part of your makeup. The person brings in financial success. There is such a concept. It's not one that we usually are used to dealing with. But if we, we'll get to that, we'll talk about it a little bit. But Be'etzem, there's truth to the fact that Oisha is a Milo. The Marshal, the Kohen Gadol had to be. Kodum Ochor has to be gone. If there's no value in it, if it's something that's just a means to go after Kinatayv and Kovit and have an easy life, we wouldn't relate that to a Kohen Gadol. Novi. Right. Novi needs. What do we need it for?
It's not real, then he doesn't need it. I'm saying real melech, I'm saying you still have...
So that means that it's real. Right. If it's basically between me and you, it's not a real value, then the Torah's not going to tell you to do it in order to impress somebody.
Yeah, alright,
yeah, same. Charades, forget it, that's not... That's forget it, that can work in other places, not in Torah. That comes from the papers, right? That's like a different subject. Right. It comes from, that's a different planet you're talking about. It's one of the world's greatest enemies, is the concept of religious symbolism, what do they call it, acts of rituals. Right? It's all of symbolism, rituals, right? And the status that comes from all kinds of these type of concepts. This is the difference between Yiddishkeit and religion. All of that's true for religion. Right? Religion is built that way, since they don't have anything really to go on. So they have to build it on these kind of things. The Torah never uses any props. There's no props in Torah. Everything's real. But sometimes they slashes Hashem a fierce secho that in real PDF situations, because of all things that never we've gotten into, that we can't deal, or we can't be pure Torah, and sometimes we have to borrow things, Nebuch, from the outside. And we cry about that. But let's not get confused.
What's the problem of it?
What?
What's the problem of it? Of what?
Oh, based on the question,
we have to borrow
from the outside. So rather not talk about it.
Well, bring me way down. The Rav doesn't want to do it.
No, not talk about it. But if you want to know, so take out your paper in the morning. You find it. 3 or 4 on each page.
Just having paper itself.
If Oisha is given Torah, we find many places that concept. And it's something, it's one of the Gimel Kinyonim that are in the world. Chochma, Gvura, and Oisha. So Chochma got here a double representation. Actually, it's Torah, which is outside of those three, and then the Mishnah is built that way, right? Torah the first, and then you have Oisha, and then you have Nidorim Siog Leprishos, which relates to the highest, most real form of Gvura, which is Ezu Gibur HaKavishas Yitzchak, and Chochm, Siog LeChochm Shtik. So the interesting, so one thing we've gotten already, we have some structure for the Mishnah, we know what the subject is. The subject matter, right, the nosei, is all of those qualities that it's worth living for, all those qualities that the accomplishment thereof are such qualities that are considered real qualities, a really real accomplishment. Torah and the three qualities of life, Oisha, Kefura, and Chochmah. The difference between Torah and Chochmah will be for a different day. But Torah and the three qualities, Oisha, Kefura, and Chochmah. Right now, I just want to speak about the first Nakuda as we get into this. L'chayr, this is what life is all about. This is what tachlis is. This is what accomplishment in this world, in real terms, in Torah terms. You're out to accomplish. What are you out to accomplish? What's there to be accomplished? What qualities are considered accomplished? L'chayr, these are those qualities that are considered absolute real qualities. Beyond the fact what you're going to do with them. That's another thing. Talking about the status of the person, quality, the type of a person that you are because you have these qualities. L'chora, that's what a person is all about. So it should be something internal to the person. It should be something that, as much as you have it, you are. That's the basic mission, the basic message of the mission. Is one that people are not very, very interested in hearing, especially in the OSHA terms. But the same thing for all of them. In Western society, American society in particular, in terms of money, there's a thing called financial security. Have you heard those words? There's a lot of things wrong with them. One thing, it's a myth. It doesn't exist. It's a psychological error. besides the higher levels of Bitochen and Munin, I think that's B'chol. But it's also psychological. It's a myth. It's simply a sheker. Something that the people that make money out of creating those things, like banks and investment firms and all kinds of things, that they're indoctrinated with this idea. And the whole society that, in order to survive, has to have everybody running. All the rats have to continue to run around the rat race. How do you keep the rat? Why should they run? They already have enough money. Why should they run? If they don't run, the thing isn't going to work. You have to keep the rats running. So how do we get the rats running? They already have money. So you created, it's created, the whole society has created an illusion of the accomplishment called financial security. And that you run after that, and then when you succeed, so then you're secure. And what do you do? What?
Die.
Usually you die first, so it's not a problem, right? Not usually, always. It's in on a mace, the chatzit also the other. It's not taiva, you say. It's security, it's responsibility, there's all kinds of nice words that we use for these things. Right? So the basic mission is telling us first that, one second, hold it, before we get into anything personal here, but just let's get the story straight. Right? These things need siyogim. Right? It's not the way you think. These things need siyogim, meaning that you'll never be secure. They are the reality of the relationship of these things to the human being is something that is insecure by its definition. And there's no other form, there's no other way of attaining security, of attaining a firm relationship, than through the process called siyog. So the person will come along and say, fine, I want financial security. I was told the way you do is run around the rat race, but if you tell me siyog, fine, siyog. What do I got to do? He says, give stuff. One second. How much do I have to get? 10% of your money. 10%? You gotta be kidding. I barely make it on my $30,000 a month. You know, what do you mean 10%? The more people make a month, the less probability is that they'll give mice. If you go to the coils, you'll find that a very, very high percentage of people, probably close to 100%, give mice. Except for those who maybe shouldn't. If you go up the ladder, so you still have some balabatim who are once b'nei teir, who still are b'nei teir, who are influenced b'nei teir, who know the halacha, and they give their ma'aseh. Some of them become rich. It happens. They still give advice. Once you get to that point, you'll find one in 1,000, one in 5,000. Then if you go higher up the ladder I don't know exactly what word, millionaires we'll call them. Right? Call them millionaires. I don't know if millionaires are considered rich anymore. They used the concept of rich. Right? Still probably not that. Millionaires right? Say that, you know, rich equally, you know, comes and it goes. How many millionaires give mice? They give a lot of money. Right? The poor guy that's making $1,600 a month, right? So he gives $160 a month. This guy's making $50,000, $70,000 a month, and he gives
$260 a month.
No, he gives $2,000, he gives $3,000.
Huh?
He gives.
It's tremendous.
It's tremendous. It's like a, you know what that is over the year? You know how much trouble he has with the tax people every time explaining that he gives 2%? They don't accept that. I said, when he gives 2%? I knew a fellow who was a very successful doctor. He made what very successful doctors make. But he was a bentayer. He made a bentayer. But behold, he gave mice. And every year he got called in. And the tax is 10%. They said, like, there's no such thing. It's an end of it. It's got to be funny baloney. You know? This went on year after year after year until he got five rebuttals, write a whole speech, and put it in, get it, and send it in. He said, okay. You're crazy, you're crazy. It's your money, do with it what you want. But, end of it. So, Beseda, for instance, what do they call it? Philanthropist, or what's the word? That's it. Yes, he's one of these guys that he's a philanthropist or whatever the word is. So his purpose is because he wants to do chesed. He's a big, he simply wants to remain rich. Find me that guy. Find me that guy. You want to finish Seder? Ain't a problem. Mises, you're good. Find me that guy. Even from the people who give Mises. Which is the one who realizes that he's giving it not because he wants to be a big bal chesed, big bal stalker, a big bal donator and get all kinds of very nice dinners made for him and stuff like that. But Poshut, that he wants financial security. And he really doesn't want to go broke.
What? $100
a month. Because maybe it'll help. I'm not sure that I'm willing to take the chance. It says the insane of the shears is a very, very difficult one. Let's start with my meiser. Halacha, it's considered a gan. Person doesn't give money, but give meiser is considered a gan.
Because it does.
Yeah, it's supposed to be a gan. It's not his money. What are you doing with that? It's not your money. There has been a tremendous amount of Ashir who were Ashir a few years ago, and they're not now. Everybody's crying. It's terrible. Check it out. Find out if they gave mice. If they give mice, what do they want? What do they want? You didn't give mice. So what exactly? But it's glued onto you, your riches. It's connected as part of you. It's not. Siyog. These are things that need a siyog. You don't have a siyog, so then basically, you wake up in the morning, and you see that it's still there, and you say, made another day. But if it's not there, there's nothing to be surprised about. So what do you expect? It's like a person who has birds. He likes having birds. And there's a big garden. He has birds there. And so he puts out birds, trees and bird food and bird bath and bird something else, and the birds come, and you know one day he walks out there, be a beautiful special bird, great. That's what he's waiting for. This is a blue-eyed, pinkle-legged, pinkle-billed something bird, right? Something, right? And wow, bird, right? But is the bird going to stay there tomorrow? Maybe. For the same reason why he came, he may stay. On the other hand, if the same reason wasn't there last week, it may not be there next week. Because the relationship between that bird out there on your big lawn and you is it's just right now here. Because right now it's here. But it doesn't mean it's going to be there tomorrow. All these things that need siyot means that they're like the bird. The relationship to the person intrinsically is a little fragile. A little very fragile. And there's got to be, you need a special process here. Otherwise, forget it. Who's going to build his life on having special birds flying around his backyard? That's a very, very low probability of success there. But if he has some type of process, of even though he can't change the reality, he can't create a zoo, he can't put it in a cage. Birds, maybe you can put it in a cage. Some of them die if you put it in a cage. Not everything you can put in a cage. Here there are no cages for these things. There's no way that you can put a handle on it that now, okay, now I don't have to worry about it. No such thing. These are birds that can't be put in a cage. You put them in a cage, they die. But what you can do is, maybe, you can create such a special circumstance that there's a reason to believe that the bird will stay, because it's worth it for the bird. It's a good place. It's a fitting place. It's found a place where it's fitting. And since it's not easy to find a place for these birds that's fitting for them, once they found one, they may even go out and invite their friends and relatives, right? So there's a good probability there that as long as you have the siyog, if you have that conditions, those catalysts available, that make it the special resting place for this particular type of a bird. So then the probability is that you may just have your birds there. We're not up to mices yet. We're going to Moshe. I don't know if we're going to get to it tonight. Let's start. So far we're just trying to get the concept of what a siyog means. We get an overview of what the topic in the Mishnah is, and what the concept of siyog is. So siyog is creating such circumstance that I'm trying to accomplish, that is part of the essence of human accomplishment, it should be a real lasting accomplishment. It shouldn't get lost. It shouldn't fly off the next day. The fact that it actually came is also a chiddush, but that it remains, both parts, still true. That it should come and that it should remain are both based on the fact that you have the catalyst there that allows for the probability of the relationship, even though intrinsically without the catalyst, okay, it's one of these very loose relationships that naturally won't happen the first time, and if they do happen, it's per chance, and easy come, easy go. So that's the structure of the Mishnah. Now we have to look at them each one by one and see why is it. But the overall question that bothers very, very much is that this seems to be a very frustrating Mishnah. The subject matter that we saw, we're talking about all that's considered accomplishment. Right? Torah and the three qualities of life. That's what accomplishment is all about. That's what can be accomplished. Those are the qualities available to us. So we're saying now, the Mishnah is telling us that all of human accomplishment is on a very frail, fragile basis. It's not so posh that it's going to come. And even if you do get a piece of it, you can lose it. You can lose it. You could be here today and gone tomorrow. What's that?
What's wrong with that?
Something
valuable you have to prep a shmir.
No, this is more than a shmir. This is more than a shmir. This is first of all.
I don't appreciate the
value. I give you a motion. I buy a car. Yeah. It's a valuable, expensive thing. Yeah. I know, because there's a certain probability, possibility. People like to steal cars. Okay. What? You said. So, basically, it's had me in the car, I bought the car is mine, and that's it. I have the car, there's no problem. Yeah. But there's this outside force called Ganon that can interrupt that basic relationship between me and the car And because of that, I buy a burger alarm. Very nice. So I put in a burger alarm. That's shmir. Right. But siyog is not shmir. It's not stam shmir. Everything is shmir. Nothing's.
Yeah, nothing's safe.
Nothing's safe anymore. A person can lose his basic essence also. A person can self-destruct. A person can cut off his arm. A person could ruin his meters. A person could blow his mind. You can destroy, you can self-destruct. There are many ways that you can do that. And there are outside forces that if you don't watch out, will do it to us. So we have to be shayim. Okay, we're bombarded daily by all kinds of forces that would like to destroy us in all different areas. There are many of those instruments of torture that we put on ourselves that have one major advantage, that you can have a button called the off button and you can stop it. It's a very nice thing. It's amazing that it doesn't always work.
But the example of, I understand the example of the car the Rebbe is trying to present, it seems that I can choose whether I want to buy a car. Well, I don't want to buy a car. I don't want to buy a car. I don't want to go through that shmir.
Well, I say that's it.
But it seems that these midos are chayim. I don't have a choice. Yeah. In other words, I'm going to go.
You can't do this.
Me to go
otherwise, you're
going to there. Yeah. I'm going to go through. It seems that the union of Oshay and Gevura and Chochma, even a guy, will have to go through that same process.
That's all there is.
That's really saying is not necessarily a shmira. It's you're going to go through it.
What do you mean you're going to go through it? This is the accomplishment that there is to exist. Not everybody goes through it. There's some people go through life being totally unaccomplished. They became president of the United States, maybe, but they're totally unaccomplished. Because they have no quality. They have no gvura.
Right.
No ocean. That's usually not the case.
But is it because that they didn't have the siyagim to get them?
Possibly. Or could be they weren't involved with Bechal. They weren't trying to succeed. They were going after Kenan Taibun Kor. They weren't looking for quality. They weren't looking for growth. They weren't looking for accomplishment. They were looking for Kenan Taibun Kor. That you can get without any shmiras.
Are those not somehow the opposite side, the negative side of these three movements? But a person, when he was born, if he would be asked,
a person is born exactly the way the psychologists understand the human being. Right? A ball of kina, taiva, and kova. Finished. Zeu. That's the whole story. Now, what can you do with that? You can blow up the world, you can build the world, right? You can make wars, you can make peace, you can write books, you can destroy books, you can do whatever you want based on that. But we're talking about real quality in that. There isn't. It's all low. And things that are low and ugly don't need very special shmirs. Unfortunately, what's very depressing, we start off on the Mishnah, is that we find that kin and tayu and kovet come to us naturally. Okay? And oisha, gevura, especially the gevura of the Mishnah, and chokma are distant from us. That it's not so possible we're going to get them. And if we get them, it's got to be a seal. It's got to be a seal for us to keep them.
So that shows you that accomplishment is in terms of Kodesh Baruch Hu's terms. Accomplishment is not based on what you do, what you think you want to get out of it. Accomplishment is that you do what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants for you. And that requires perfecting yourself in one way or another, and you need systems to hold you back going towards the things you want to do, which you have called accomplishment, but aren't. Those things aren't accomplishment. All these things that we do with our kochos, we look them from our view, so we think that's accomplishment. That's not accomplishment. Accomplishment is that we should end up being perfected yidden according to Kodesh Baruch Hu's standards. So for that, you have to go to his system. So in his system, he has to give you help, because these things aren't natural. So his system, he has to make fences for you so you'll stay in the area of real accomplishment, which isn't, doesn't seem to localize with your particular definitions. Your definitions are wrong.
Okay, that's good. Okay. In other words, what we found out is that Kina Taiva and Kovod are a very good description of what Olam Hazeh is all about. And if you're tachlis, it turns to Olam Hazeh, no problem. Kina Taiva and Kovod work just fine. Right? It will self-destruct in the end, but maybe he'll get you, maybe you'll get him. Could be you'll get him.
Right? Yeah, that's okay,
because Adam Hazeh will self-destruct. Yeah, it's all right. It doesn't matter. Right? Enoch Hanami, Adam Perak, we're born into Olam Hazeh as a prime candidate member. Right? We have a visa, more than a visa, we have citizenship. A member of Olam Hazeh in fine standing. And you have all the basic qualities of Adam Mehadam. Shtik et. Peanut Ivan Code, and you can stay there. It doesn't really take much to remain a Per Adam. You can be an extremely qualified Per Adam. You can be a highly educated Per Adam. You can be a very powerful Per Adam. You're still a Per Adam. In fact, it's a little bit more dangerous once you become president of. It doesn't make a difference in the United States. It's all the same. Very strange little demonstrations that have been going on the last few days. Check it out. What are the powers that are underlying the activity of Kina Taiva Kovod? Or Gvura. You saw the Gvura dance, the great no, even in Gvura, even though I'm not talking about Gvura of Kavishis, it's like talking about the Gvura of in terms of what? No, there's a regular Gvura of war.
Yeah, right? Hammering a roach.
I got you. This is like unreal. This is big huge. The only one, right? The only world power, right? He's playing with this little guy who's been beat up, right? He's bleeding. He's got one hand tied behind his back, and they sent 100 planes, which 38 of them were only the ones who were active. The rest were being shamed, right? And they didn't accomplish the mission. Why? Well, so somebody explains to me. Because they were bombing from 3 kilometers.
They were bombing what?
From 3 kilometers up. Because that way they're 100% sure that there's nothing that he has that even if he sends is going to hit them. They were safe. Sorry. But it's totally like they were being very careful. Yeah, this is a nice war. You ever hear that concept? They're playing. They're going to do a nice bombing. Sterile.
It's clean.
Yeah. Very clean. There's a very sophisticated form of videography. It's like you have to be a very, 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 very qualified idiot. You know, they're trying to explain what is it that he's trying to. What are they trying? Analysts, right? Yeah. What is he trying to accomplish? And why are you doing it this way? It must be because he wants to try that. What? Basically, he wants to mess up. He has two enemies. Right? He has Mr. Saddam and Mr. Clinton. He wants to make sure that when he's finished, they'll have to continue hitting each other. Right? And he can mess them both up. But basically. This is crazy, right? Do the job. You have to use it. You have a job because of it. Right? So do it. But you don't have the power. Yeah. You're a paper tiger, maybe.
Or he's not.
What?
He's over his whole
power. He's an idiot. Siog. Let me tell you. Siog the mice. Siog loisha. Siog.
What's in the
Nakuda? There's a Nakuda of Shmir that you need from outside dangers. That's not the subject that we're talking about. When a person wants to
You have two magnets. Two magnets. And they're placed the proper way.
They'll come together. Connect. These two things have a natural connection.
But you want to make sure they remain connected. Maybe they'll come a little boy and pull one off. So you have to have a shmir to make sure that the little boy doesn't get there and pull them off. But if you turn the magnet around the other way, so that unless something's going to be done over here, naturally it's not going to connect. You need a special siyok. It's an unnatural thing that you needed to get it there in order to have the groundwork so that it should be there. And that it's only going to be there as long as the siyok is there. As soon as the siyok goes off, weakens, to that degree, it's gone, repelled. So we find out that we're in a world where all that there is for real accomplishment to be had don't naturally relate to us. Or maybe even repelled, perhaps. And just look the other way, it's gone. And you have to have a special process called siyog to enable these unnatural relationships. It's very, very depressing. It's a little frustrating here. It gives us an impression of a very uphill battle. And it's not so, it sounds like not fair. Like, you mean if little tests. I forgot who it was, one of the Gilgalim Musar. So sometimes a person wants to know where he's holding in certain meters. Because he's a nice guy, the bison, basically. So maybe I'm a Baal Chesed. I do a lot of favors for people. I'm a nice guy. I help that one out. So maybe I'm a Baal Chesed. What do you say? So we have a bedikah, there's a test. Saying, I don't go around beating up people. And I accept all the different types. I'm a nice guy. So maybe I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe yeah. How do I know? Maybe yeah. So there's a way to test. Did you work on it? Did you work hard to be kind to meet it? Oh, you didn't? Forget it. It's not going to be. Because naturally, all of those things that are real quality aren't going to be. But yeah, a person can have good teeth that he could have. But being kind of madrigas, all madrigas of real quality come in the world. Right? We have to overcome a natural repulsion between real quality and per ordo. When we start out, some of us are a little behind time. We started off a long time ago and may even have gone a little backwards over the last couple of years. But whatever, there's other perak yavole. Improved, go up, go down. But accomplishment of real quality, of real kinyan quality, it seems on the surface to be very frustrating. As the Mishnah is telling you, I said, you gotta know that's the way it is. From the vantage point of Per Odov Ki Yevoleh, you're trying to accomplish a quality that is unnatural, that is not something that's going to relate to you on a. Basically, it'd be repelled from you. You have to have some type of special process to make it happen.
But
a catalyst. Okay. However, how is a catalyst? You have the same thing in chemistry. It's been many, many years since I've been in chemistry and I didn't learn it very well. But I remember certain things. One of the things I remember, I don't remember the name anymore, but there are these type of chemicals that without a catalyst are not good friends. They just don't get along. They're not going to join together for sure. They may even make all kinds of chemical reactions that could be slightly unpleasant. And then they have this very interesting thing called a catalyst that causes changes the basic background of the relationship, of the grounds of the connection, that they all of a sudden become very good friends. It changes the ground rules. And now, they can be so beautifully linked It's not so posh, you can get them apart. That's the idea of Siyog. Siyog has the capability of transposing a person from Eretz L'Shamayim. All of the qualities of Olam Hazeh, Kin, Type, Kavod, are very natural for Odom Perakei Avod, for Odom Me'adam. And therefore, it will be unnatural for him to be kind of the qualities of Olam Haba, the qualities of real, ultimate quality, Torah, Gur, Oish, Chof. But there's a process called Siyog that changes the ground rules, extends the starting point, changes the atmosphere where a person is to be found in, such that then these things are fitting for him. The very fact that the Rebbe Shem put us in this world to accomplish these things, lulei the concept of Siyog, if it would be just stam an uphill battle, right, tugs these qualities that are unnatural to us. That would be a very auxiliary to the form of creation. To understand it simply, yeah, that's the way it is. The Rebbe Yishlam made you a kindergarten child and told you that you have to become a professor. But I'm not a kindergarten child. Stretch. It's not natural. So if you make supernatural efforts, you can go beyond yourself. That's exotic. That's not the way the pension wants to go. Oh, you know, Chesed is funny. The ancient world is a beautiful world. It was a natural world. The revelation only asks us that which is our very essence, to be what we are, to bring out our basic qualities. The joint, the bridge between these two worlds, the worlds of the lower form of Adam, the Adam Kerenki of Ole, where quality is unnatural to him, and the Tzuras Adam, that's a Tzelem Elokim, which is the most natural thing in the world for him to have these minds. Tzelem Elokim. What is Tzelem Elokim Poshe? Whatever way we, without getting into anything deep. What Tzelem Elokim means that a person to some degree and to some level relates in his basic definition to qualities that are not just superhuman, the Elokim. He has the divinity, the relationship between him and the revelation. So Vadai, that's Poshet, and we talk about the Rebbein Shlom. The Rebbein Shlom is, or he's greater even than that, but minimum, we understand that the Rebbein Shlom in his essence, in his glory, in his expression, contains in the most intrinsic natural form all that is real quality. So Vadai, Hu Adin, that person that expresses Tzelem Elokim, there is nothing more natural to him than we require. So I think that's what we're all going to be able to accomplish tonight without, I thought we would start going into the individual ones. But the frame, the map is a little clearer. It's very interesting. Mamish, Chlevodik. Oh, if we just turn the page just for a moment and look at the quick look at the next Mishnah. Who are your image? Chalav Adam Shanidov itself. Unbelievable. Right here. Amazing. I wonder who put it there. See? Ruach HaKadosh. Really, Ruach HaKadosh. Chlor, once we hear this Mishnah, we hear that the subject matter that's being built here is the laying the grounds for the statement, clear statement in terms of what we're going to, afterwards getting to. So at least we have the map out now. Now we know what we're looking for. We have Adam Ki Yavolet, Per Adam Ki Yavolet, we have Tzelem Elokim, and all of the milas, that these four milas, that are very natural for Tzelem Elokim, and super unrelated to a Per Adam. In order to move a person from one to the other, in order in each Nekuda that he should be able to relate to these things as a Tzelem Elokim, not as a Per Adam, there's a process called Siyog. Now we have to go into each one of them, see them,
How does it look in terms of a per adam? How does it look for a tzelem elokim? And how did siyog, what's the process of siyog, that transformed me from the groundworks of per adam to the groundworks of tzelem elokim to make it from an unnatural relationship to a natural?